What happened?
Corey Crawford back in goal in the net. Woo!
What happened to the regular music?
Jasmine was standing in
here. Oh. I thought you had the ability to make the music happen as well.
Well,
we pay $9 a month for the music service. We should use it.
Whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's better.
I don't have access to it unless I load it up. No.
WGN.
Take three.
Hit something, Jazz.
N.
And
One more time.
WGN.
All right.
Oh, there we go. All right.
That was easy.
That was easy.
All right, let's rock our socks out.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. Marlene Wells is here with us. Marlene is a name. You hear about Marlene a lot if you listen to the station because, well, she's here a lot doing great things for the station. 51 years, Marlene, is that correct, here at WGN? 51. 50 wonderful years.
Have they all been wonderful?
Seriously, they have.
Yeah.
I know they got better
when
Bill and I came. You know, Bill's been here, but when I came and we were reunited.
Even better.
Yeah.
That made things even better.
I knew it.
Tell people what you do here at WGN for those who have not heard.
Yeah, because I'd like to know too.
Many of us are not sure.
Thank you, Bertrand.
Well, I'm part of the marketing team, mm-hmm. Sales team,
mm-hmm.
Programming team.
Yes,
you are.
I'm. Besides office work, I mostly do all the remote special events, site surveys.
You make them happen. Without you, yep. There are no remotes. It's impossible.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Were you always doing the remote end of things, or did your job kind of evolve?
It kind of evolved.
Yeah.
So they could get more work out of you without paying you more?
Kind of.
When you started here 51 years ago, did you think even in your wildest dreams that a half a century later you'd still be working here?
The funny part is my earlier years, I was going to leave or I was going to transfer out of the department.
You were.
And personnel knew about that, and they would always tell me of openings.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, this is pretty good. You know, I'm getting to know firsthand who's leaving. So they finally caught on to that, and they stopped telling me. Because they knew I wasn't going to leave or move to a different department.
Sure, of course. Yesterday, on our website, on WGNradio.com, Wendy and I noticed that there's a photo gallery of you over the years, over your career here, 51 years.
That was just some of them.
You have your photo taken with some of the most prominent names of the last half century. Mm-hmm. It's such an incredible
Bill was jealous.
I was jealous because I said, look, boy, to be in one place with all those famous people over the years, that's amazing.
It was a perk instead of getting raises.
Instead of money. They said you get to meet Alan Alda. Well, what's wrong with that?
Hey, a hug from Burt Reynolds is worth
a yearly
salary.
Can I ask a favor of you? Can we go through some of these names and you give us what it was like to meet them, talk to them,
sure.
Have your photo taken with
and
them?
And I also have a list of some other ones that
weren't included?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start out. Let's do them in order. I mean, they're not in any chronological order. They just kind of on mm-hmm. the website, they just have them at random. Burt Reynolds is the very first one. We lost Burt Reynolds just a very short time ago. What was he like?
That was a funny story because I had no intention of going to meet him. He came in right after he did that centerfold.
Yeah.
And
ow.
He was on Roy Leonard Show, and the control room was just bombarded with all the girls from the company.
Sure.
So I grabbed the Polaroid camera and I gave it to one of our engineers saying, take a bunch of pictures for the girls. And I was waiting out in the hallway and next thing I knew, Archie came out and the door opened and he like pushed me in and he said, this is the girl that I've been telling you has been dying to meet you. And I just looked just shocked and he gets up and he starts going toward me and puts his arms around me and he said, we sure had a good time last night, didn't we?
Oh, God.
And I just looked at him and he said, are you married? And I just said, yes.
It's good that you remembered that, Marlene.
That one I do remember.
I'm surprised you remembered that.
Yeah, that you were married. But overall, a nice enough guy. And at the time,
he was
the hottest property in America,
wasn't he? He was.
Yeah. Alan Alda.
Really nice man. I didn't get a chance to talk to him that much. He was in studio when that happened, but he was very nice, personable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next one up is Al Gore, former Vice President Al Gore, and his wife Tipper Gore. They were in.
They were constantly in my office because my old office, first floor, I had all the old-fashioned candy jars, so they were constantly in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Taking stuff out of the candy jars.
And Tipper was grabbing all your albums and wouldn't let you play them.
Yeah.
There's a photo of you taken here with three of the greatest Cubs in baseball history, Ernie Banks, Ferguson Jenkins, and Billy Williams. What do you remember about that day?
I worked with the Cubs a good number of years, and having a photo taken with the Hall of Famers, that was a treasure, so that was good.
Let's do Barry Manilow next. A fun picture of you.
You're at the piano.
Yeah.
Right. Barry happened to be one of my... Well, he happened to be one of my favorites. And when he was in with Roy, that was one person I really wanted to meet. And instead of taking the photo, he said, okay, come on, you pretend like you're playing.
Oh, that's sweet. He looks the same, doesn't he?
Doesn't he? Yeah. He really does. All right, we've got
so
a bunch.
So does Marlene.
You do. All right, there's a bunch more of these. Marlene Wells is in studio with us for 51 years. She's been here at WGN. She's had her photo taken with some of the biggest names of the last half century. We'll cover more next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're going behind the scenes a little bit at WGN Radio today. A woman who's been part of the fabric here for 51 years. She's Marlene Wells. Pretty much every position, you do cover every department at some point. You're pretty amazing.
Every position. You're the Ben Zobrist of WGN Radio.
The doer and the schlepper.
Yeah, the doer and the schlepper. 1967, is my math right on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So while Wendy and I were watching The Man from U.N.C.L.E., you were hard at work already here at the station.
Sure.
All right, let's go through some more of these names.
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Fabio, the great Fabio. He's lifting you up in the picture. He's hoisting you.
Right, and that was in the showcase studio. I had my leg in a cast, and it was really funny because I stood behind him, and the next thing I knew, he stood up, and he was like, picking me up.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. If that photo was in color, I'd be beet red.
Yeah. Did you swoon?
No, I was hysterical because it was like, I couldn't believe.
You didn't know he was going to lift you up?
No.
Unhand me, Mr. Fabio.
No, everyone out there was laughing,
Who I don't want to leave out any of your favorites. Go through some of the ones, and the photo gallery is up on WGNRadio.com, and I think we're putting it on our Facebook page as well. But go through some of the ones that meant the most to you.
It was a great honor to meet Margaret Thatcher, Henry Kissinger, Colin Powell, Madeleine Albrecht.
Yeah.
And those were, and of course, Hillary, when she was the first lady.
Yeah.
She made you feel like you could call the White House anytime you wanted.
Really?
Like you were fast friends.
Right. I had to be cleared with Secret Service, to be with her to take the photos.
Really?
And then her Secret Service, used my office as kind of like a staging office.
Wow.
And came back, and was like trading off GN hats for like pin, lapel pins, uh-huh. Things like that. Also meeting President Carter and his wife. Those were great honors to be with those people. And some of the other fun people, like Bette Midler, the Smothers Brothers, and Margaret, who this was at Bradley Place. Ironically, she got locked in the women's stall.
And Margaret did.
We had to get her out. Charleston Heston.
Oh.
Ruth Warwick. Phoebe from All My Children.
Yep. Oh, Bill, you're totally jealous.
Phoebe Tyler Wallingford.
Yeah. Don Rickles. He wasn't he wasn't very pleasant.
Was he not pleasant to you? Really?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, I hate to hear that.
One of the sweetest people, too, was Tiny Tim. stay well, Miss Marlene.
Is that what he said? That was his words?
Arthur looked nothing like she did on television.
Better or
she
worse?
She looked better, didn't
worse.
She? Oh, really? God will get you for that, Marlene.
Wow, dish from Marlene. Look at that.
Seriously, I couldn't believe, some people looked really far better in person, mm-hmm. than they did on screen.
Like who comes to mind with that?
Wendy? Well,
Wendy does.
I bet Anne Margaret looked more beautiful in person.
She did.
Yeah.
She did. Yeah. And Then there was Steve Allen and Robert Goulet and Vanna White. That was a funny one, too, because Vanna looked really cute that day. And this was at the end of the day, and I was happy I got this photo, and I took it home, showed Mom, and she says, "Oh, Vanna looked really nice."
Moms.
Thanks, Mom.
Who was, do you remember who Robert Goulet was on with? Because I know he
Kathy
had.
And Judy.
Because that didn't go well.
No, it did not.
What happened?
He
was rude to them.
He seems like he'd be rude. He's all caught up in his mustache.
Yeah. No.
He was thirsty that day.
He was.
Yeah. So
they cut that interview very short.
What happens? So he comes in. It doesn't go well with Kathy and Judy, but he still stuck around and took pictures with people, huh?
He did. Not so much in the studio because the girls wanted to.
Yeah,
why do you come if you don't? Like, we had Jimmy J.J. Walker on. Remember, he complained about the drive out here and then just was ornery. Why bother then?
I don't know.
Maybe they're PR people.
I don't know.
They have it set up.
I have to ask you about this guy because I love him and I miss him so much. George Carlin. Do you remember what that was like that day?
Yes. You know, he did the various, the weatherman, the mailman.
The hippy-dippy weatherman.
Yeah, well, I said about the mailman, and everyone looked at me, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, did I say something wrong? You know, and it's like I'm looking, and he says, no, you got it right. A lot of people just didn't remember.
I don't remember
the mailman.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, okay. Like I said, I just said I got the characters mixed up or something. But
yeah,
and he was nice.
Oh yeah, he was nice. Henry Winkler, that was another, the first time he was here, he wasn't so nice or pleasant. So the second time he was at the station, I kind of like stayed away.
Yeah.
And he said, get over here, I met you before, and that's...
He remembered you.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Was there a long time distance between the two visits?
That I don't remember.
Just that he remembered, that says a lot about him. That's so nice. Well, it's so impressive to see this list of celebrities that you've been photographed with, and it's viewable on WGNRadio.com or our Facebook page also. You can see just some of the people, because all the pictures didn't even make the gallery, right?
No. In my old office on the first floor at the Trib, I had wall-to-wall shelving and had all of them, a good number of frames.
Yeah.
And I know some of the salespeople used to, when they walked people around, they used to come in the office to look at all.
Sure.
Yeah, your wall of fame.
Right. But when we moved on the seventh floor, we lost the space.
I know.
And, of course, over here, we don't have that much either. So all this is just packed away now.
I'm so glad people can see it, because it really is. It's so exciting to see. Marlene, thanks not just for showing up with us today, but for 51 years here. It's incredible. It's amazing.
This is the greatest company.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, you're a big part of that. So
thank you.
That's Marlene Wells.
It's a family. It really
it is.
Oh,
it really
you
is.
Are so sweet here. Yeah. I don't want you to tear up. Was Mickey Rooney a jerk?
No.
He was nice to you?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really nice.
He was a very unpredictable guy. Sometimes he was nice.
I met him a long time ago, and at that meeting, I think that was, I don't know if Wally was still here.
Yeah.
It was back, that far back.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, that was a disappointment to me, because that was someone that I always liked.
Yeah.
You know, and...
And he didn't marry you. That's strange, because a lot of times he just married people.
I didn't make the list.
No,
so.
Well, that's all right.
And a great picture of you with the Blackhawks great Tonio Savoir-Faire, Bobby Hull, and the late great Stan Mikita. It's really great.
That's a treasure, because
excellent pictures.
Stan was a grand gentleman.
Yeah.
He was such a grand gentleman.
Yeah.
We'll put
this
gallery up on our Facebook page. You can also, it's already up. Thank you, Jasmine. And you can search it on WGNRadio.com. Thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you for being part of our family.
So lucky to be.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Steve. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Later on, Dean Richards will be on to talk about new movies and entertainment that happens at 11:35. Here's a text for, I think this is for you, Wendy. I'm not sure. This is from 815. It says, capital letter X, small letter YHTUM, comma Q.
What?
I don't know. Capital X, YHTUM, and then an apostrophe, and then or a comma, and then a Q. So I'm guessing that's for you.
Thanks for passing on the secret code.
I know you get a lot of Klingon fans who want to respond to things you've said and done during the show.
I loved Worf.
Yeah, Worf is the best, isn't he? How would you feel if your 10-year-old, so that's a fifth grader, was given, this is in school, was given a sexual survey asking intimate questions about how active they have been? What would your thoughts be if your 10-year-old came home and said, I got an interesting survey in school today?
I don't know if my fingers would break typing an email or dialing the phone, or if I would just run right into
you
that
would,
school.
I know you. You would be on your way there.
I would, because that's none of their business.
Yeah. A mother in Vermont was infuriated when her daughter's teachers handed out an intimate sex survey questioning the student's sexual history.
What do you ask a 10-year-old?
Well, they'll get into that.
Holy moly.
Vanessa Beach's 10-year-old daughter Zoe was in class last week when her guidance counselors handed out a questionnaire. The questions included intimate ones about the student's sexual orientation, whether they had been in a relationship, and whether they'd had a sexual partner. Keep in mind, these are fifth graders. These are 10-year-olds.
What, is this trying to figure out what career you want to do?
Yes.
Thank you, guidance counselor.
It's an aptitude test to see what kind of line of work you can go into.
I would sue the school.
Although students were instructed to hand the paper back into their teachers, Zoe put her copy into her pocket. She took it home and then showed it to her mom. When Vanessa saw the survey, she was understandably shocked and outraged. She took to Facebook to share her thoughts. Zoe did a survey at school today. This is what it said on Facebook. Zoe did a survey at school today. Now, I don't think sexuality is a dirty thing, and by that I mean any sexuality. That being said, I am honestly a little taken aback that a school thinks it's okay to ask my child about her and her peers' sexuality at the age of 10.
The age of 20. That is none of the school's business.
I agree with you. I think you're right. What if my child was having a hard time with her sexuality? What if any child in that class were? Do you really feel it's your jobs to make them put an answer on paper for others to read? I find this ridiculous and unnerving, to say the very least, Vanessa wrote on her Facebook page. Furious, Vanessa then contacted the school. I spoke with the school, and the first person was the guidance counselor who told me she herself had reservations about the survey, and several teachers also expressed concern. That bothered me a lot, Vanessa said.
Who's giving the orders there? The principal? He's not your pal.
He's not your pal this time. The superintendent told Vanessa that if he or the principal had seen the survey first, it would not have gone out to the students, she said. The survey was distributed by a group called WISE, W-I-S-E, a group that advocates against gender-based violence. The point of the survey was to follow my daughter and her peers throughout high school, collecting data about their sexuality and their relationships, all this for the next 6 years. They need parental consent to do that sort of thing? I think they do.
I think WISE is not very.
No.
And they're going to get in trouble. You can't do that.
I like what I like what this group stands for, but their way about going about it is probably wrong.
And you know what I imagine is they'd send teachers would hand out a paper, or they'd email the parents and saying, "Would you discuss this with your child and see if they'd like to participate?" They'd have to do it voluntarily. You can't just do that.
I know. You can't. All right. So keep in mind, these are 10-year-olds. These are fifth graders. You couldn't do that in a job situation, could you? There's no way you'd get away with that. There's no way.
I don't think so.
Apparently, it says here, an opt-out form was sent home to parents.
Oh, I hate when they do that.
So when you get one of those, it's essentially saying, this is something we're going to give to everybody in the group or in the school.
Unless we hear from
you. Yeah.
And a lot of times parents see an email, you open it. I get a lot of stuff from the high school, like upcoming events.
Right.
And I look at it. If it's nothing important, I move
along.
Yeah. Just with email, I just kind of like, all right, whatever.
Right. So an opt-out form had been sent home to parents.
It should be an opt-in form.
Who didn't want their children to participate in the survey. But Vanessa and many other parents say they never received such a form. Vanessa wasn't the only parent upset about the ordeal. And after her Facebook post went viral, a lot of social media users were outraged on her behalf as well. And understandably.
Wouldn't it be more benefit? Well, they weren't trying to teach the kids anything. They were doing it with an outside survey company.
Right.
See, I don't think that's right either.
Right.
And if the principal and the superintendent said had they gotten wind of this, they wouldn't have let the survey go out, whose decision was it to give it out?
I can't figure that out either. Because you would think something that's potentially a time bomb would be discussed among people high up at the school, but it doesn't seem to have been in this case.
I bet a teacher's husband or wife, their spouse, works for this
Someone's
company.
Someone's involved with them? Maybe.
And they said, here, just Maybe. Pass this out to your students. Because how would the principal and superintendent not be aware of this?
I don't know the answer
Seems
to
like
that.
A problem.
I remember in my school, so this would have been in either 6th grade or 7th grade, they started taking the kids separately, boys and girls. Like, the girls would go into the hall. We were told to see a film about Europe. That's what we were told. The girls will now go into the main hall, and they will see a film about Europe. And we all looked at each other, and we went, that's interesting. All right.
The boy, honest
some
to God,
of the boys, like I
that.
Went, I would like to also see a film about Europe. And they said, no, only the girls will see a film about Europe. You'll
Honestly,
stay here.
They
yeah.
said that?
Yeah. And then the girls came back, and they said, well, you didn't see any of Europe. You saw the Netherlands, but you did not see Europe. All right, so parents, there were some parents that were outraged because they said, you can't just take our kids and show them a film about, you know,
It's not that
sexual.
Explicit.
No, it's not explicit
Talks about
at all.
Girls getting their periods.
Exactly. But there were still parents that went, you can't, how can you take my daughter in and show her this film when I had not been contacted or informed about this? And that, in my opinion, pales in comparison to what
oh,
went
yeah.
on here, where they're asking kids, have you had sex? Have you had a partner? Are you straight? Are you
That's
not straight?
That's not acceptable.
No. No.
And Dylan's a sophomore, so he half the year is going to be health, and I can't wait to hear what they're talking about. Because this is sure. high school health.
Right.
You know, the junior high, I went to watch the movies. The parents could go and see the movies they were going to see.
Oh, really?
Before your kids saw it.
I didn't
guess,
know that was an option. That's interesting. And you saw it?
Yeah, it was silly and stupid. It's about, you know, growing hair in various parts of your body.
Yeah.
And Jim and I were like two. We were like two junior high kids because we were like elbowing each other. Sure. Going, oh my God, look at this! It was silly. It wasn't, you know. But I guess that's a way to get a kid's attention is not make it so serious and.
But could a parent see that and say, "My child isn't ready to see that," or "I don't want them to see that"? Was
I
that
guess.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't.
Oh,
I think the high school health class is going to be very advanced.
Don't you think though that now? Once again, thank you to the internet. Any kid that has questions or is curious about anything has already looked it up, has already Googled it, has already watched it. They kind of have some idea.
And then as a parent, you get some real doozy questions.
Oh, sure. Of course.
I'll handle anybody else's kids. I have answered so many questions.
Set up a booth.
I'll do it.
What are your thoughts on this? This happened in Vermont where 10-year-olds, these are fifth graders, were given a survey asking them how sexually active they have been, if they've had a partner, if they're straight, if they're not straight. What are your thoughts? Is there
what
any merit to this?
Done?
I would not have been happy.
Would you? You would have gone to the school or at least called them.
I would have wanted some sort of an explanation.
It's
just saying,
terrible.
I don't know how it's your business to ask my child these questions.
At 10.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully they're not sexually active.
Right, right. And what would they do with that info? Let's say this girl or any of the kids put, I already am. Then what do they do with that? Do they call them in for counseling?
No, I think they're just doing a survey so they can go survey says.
Oh.
And then they can check with that kid in later years and see if they've been bullied. It sounds like that's what they were after, that information.
Yeah.
But how about just start with, hey, have you ever been bullied?
Right.
What were the reasons for the bullying?
Much better line of questioning.
Yeah.
Much better. All right, what are your thoughts? We're at 312-981-7200. We'll cover those in just a little bit. All right, let me quickly catch you up. This took place in Vermont, where a woman is not too happy to learn that her 10-year-old daughter, this would be a fifth grader, received a survey in her class wanting to know about the student's sexual orientation, whether they had been in a relationship, and whether they had already had a sexual partner. Keep in mind, we're talking about 10-year-old kids here. The mother, not too thrilled. What would your thoughts be if your child or grandchild came home and told you the same story?
Let's talk to Pat. She called us, 312-981-7200. Pat, what's up?
Oh, good morning. I would have been furious. However, it would never have happened. I sent my son to Catholic grade school and Catholic high school. They would.
So he saw a film about Europe too.
Oh no 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 no! I'm the nurse mom. I'm an RN, so I always had the boys at my house. I only have one son, but I always had like 4, 5, 6 boys, and I told them everything. I got out the books, the anatomy and physiology. I told them about the diseases in no uncertain terms, and their moms liked that they came to my house and learned about it. So there was no ambiguity. There were no questions. They knew. They knew how to protect themselves. They knew what was right and wrong. And I think that's the way to do it.
And they got the right information. I mean, if you learn from your friends, it's not quite true.
No, that's it. And for show and tell, I think he was in about third grade. He took my anatomy and physiology book to school. And I got a call and they said, Pat, this is a little advanced for third grade. So I had to have a little talk with Matthew and say, honey, ask mommy before you take the book to school.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's, as far as I know, he's not a mass murderer. He's very
as far as you know. I think you'd know, Pat.
I think so. I think bodies would be showing up by now.
Oh, but, yeah.
But I, and plus, which I was the Cub Scout leader. So these kids knew about drugs, they knew about sex, they knew about diseases, they knew about predatory females. I mean, you just do it. You do it yourself, and you do it early, and you do it often.
Well, that's good advice. Pat, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Kim, we were talking about, Bill mentioned this survey that was passed out in for 10-year-olds. Your daughter has something to do with this?
Well, no, not with this one, but my daughter, who's now a junior, when she was in fifth grade, for her English class, came home with an assignment to read an article about abstinence versus abortion and compare and contrast the two.
Jeez.
Wow. And that was an English class?
That was an English class.
Did you complain?
I did complain. I called the teacher, and her answer was, well, they didn't really need to read the content. They just needed to understand how to write a compare and contrast.
Well, pick a different topic.
Well, and then I called the principal, and hence the teacher did either get transferred or get fired.
Yeah. So you were more than likely not the only parent to comment on this, right?
With all the privacy laws, he couldn't tell me if anybody else was complaining.
Right.
But he said he was totally unaware of it,
and
it was not listed in her curriculum when she turned it in at the beginning of the year.
Right, well, that's
so. I mean, it goes on all over.
Yeah, I guess so.
Kim, thank you very much for calling. Someone wants to know: was this survey done at the Masters and Johnson's Elementary School?
One of the most alarming aspects of the story that we're leaving out is their plan. And I'll be honest with you: I've heard of the group Wise, but
I haven't.
I don't know that much about them. But their plan was to keep these surveys going for 6 more years. You know, the kid at this point was in fifth grade, so they wanted to follow them all through grade school and then through their high school careers as well. I'm shocked that they're not getting more negative feedback from people. I mean, if you're for this and you think this is a good idea for your kid to be involved in a questionnaire like this, then by all means, have at it. But I'm shocked that this is the first parent who's come forth and said, wow, I'm not a fan of this at all. 6 years is a long time to be filling out these kind of surveys.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even answer them now as an adult.
No. No. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show ahead. Stay here. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio.
Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Our phone number and our text line are 312-981-7200. Should you have any questions or comments?
I'm just grooving. What is this song? I can't think of it.
Says. Jasmine, what is this?
Gap Band.
Yeah.
Burn Rubber on Me.
It's the Gap Band's hit, Burn Rubber on Me, Wendy.
I remember this song. You don't?
I do, but it didn't have the same emotional effect on me that it had on you. You just started dancing uncontrollably. I was scared.
You don't ever move to music, do
no,
you?
No, I don't. No, I
ever?
Do not.
Not even Christopher Cross?
Not even Christopher Cross really makes me dance the way you just danced to that song. No. No. Oh, you know what I found? Apparently, the English language is always changing. That's what it says here on the sheet. So they have found a bunch of words and phrases that at one time not long ago were cool to say, but if you're saying them now, it's the exact opposite. If you're saying any of these things now, people look at you and they go, that is so 2015. I think I just used an example of one.
Yes.
Here's what I always hated, and I don't know the difference between the two, either bling or bling bling.
I've only used one bling.
You'd always hear that word, like if you were watching E! Before any kind of like an award show, and they were doing the red carpet like 4 hours before the real red carpet, you know, when guys who were like marginally famous were showing up early because they knew they'd get camera time. So the people on E! Would always tell you, they would use the word bling over and over and over again to tell you how much bling James Belushi had on at the moment.
He had a pinky ring bling.
Yeah.
I don't like that word. I never did.
Yeah, doesn't do it for me.
How about, that's a great necklace.
Yeah, you could say that. Not bling. Tell us about your bling. It's ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, here's another one. Redonkulous. Do you remember that?
Yes.
People had their own kind of version of ridiculous. That's redonkulous.
I remember Adam Carolla using that before anyone else.
Well, he had a version that we can't say on the air. Do you remember his version of it? He had a version that is too dangerous for air.
Yes.
That was Adam Carolla's job, was to think up new ways to say the word ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Look, here's one that changed a little bit, but they say both versions are now unacceptable. Off the chain, which then later became off the hook.
I've never heard or used that expression ever.
That car is off the chain. What year is it? I mean off the hook.
What does that mean? Off the hook is when someone's blaming you for something, like on the Maury Povich show, and the results say you're off the hook.
It means that something is so outrageous.
Yes.
Like, it's off the hook. That
off the charts, like, is
off
what I would say.
Off the charts is what you would say.
Is it the same kind of thing, Jasmine?
Off the map, kind of. Jasmine, can I say that?
Yeah. Off the grid?
Off the grid?
No, that means you can't be found.
Yeah. Off the bunk bed?
It doesn't mean the same thing. Off the chain.
Off the chain.
Never heard that.
But it's no longer cool, right? If you say it now, you're not cool.
I mean,
what replaced it? What can you say now to replace that?
Wow.
Just wow?
That's amazing.
Wow will do it, or amazing?
That's amazing.
Here's another word in that same bracket. Kids said this for a while, but I can't remember the last time anybody said this. That's so coolio.
No one said that.
It says here it was said a lot by Lizzie McGuire. You know how a lot of times I'll watch Lizzie McGuire and go, what's Lizzie McGuire's version of this? I'm going to start saying it. That's where Coolio came from. Not the rapper, but the phrase.
Jazz, you're shaking your head. Why? What?
Didn't Lizzie McGuire come out in like 2001?
Yes.
2002?
Who's Lizzie McGuire?
Oh, Wendy, don't.
Wendy?
Come on.
Bill, you're an old man and you're acting like you're a teenager.
Lizzie McGuire.
It sounds familiar.
The voice of a generation. The TV show.
I know, but who was in it?
What's that girl's name? Was Lizzie McGuire, Jazz?
Hart? Mary Joan Hart?
No, Melissa Joan Hart wasn't Lizzie McGuire. I can't think of her name. She's got blonde hair. She's been in a couple movies. You know, Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, Hilary Duff.
Yeah.
That's it.
2001 to 2004.
Yeah, she was Coolio back then. But again, not the rapper, just the word. Here's another one, almost the same. Duh Bomb.
Stupid.
Not the bomb, the bomb.
People still use that.
That's the bomb.
That's the stupid.
Right.
There's a big thing. Oh, I hope it's not dirty.
It is. If you have to, I can tell. If you have to edit yourself,
well, my
it
kids
is.
Say this. Gucci Gang.
Oh, you can't. Jazz, cut that.
There's nothing wrong with it.
You can say
what
that?
Does that mean?
It comes from a song. It's talking about, like, Gucci designer.
Okay.
It's really weird.
Because they'll say, hey, can you pick up Subway on the way home? And I said, yes. And then they'll say, Gucci Gang. But then I tried to be hip when they did something for me, and I texted back, Gucci Game.
No.
And I got
game?
All these ha-ha-ha's. And then they're like, it's
gang.
Gucci Gang, but I actually like Gucci Game better.
So the answer to somebody picking up a Subway sandwich
is just
Google?
You know, like, it's cool, right?
It.
Coolio.
It
right.
is? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So see, you instead of Coolio, you can use Gucci Gang.
Gucci
Gang. Or Gucci Game, as I use. I am so stupid.
Well,
on
your behalf, that's an honest mistake.
Gucci Gang, that's no. And Gucci Game makes more sense to
better.
Me.
Better. Better.
That's Gucci Game.
Right.
Y'all?
I'm going to run that past Lizzie McGuire later today when I see her. See if she responds to that at all. This is one you would see on a lot of afternoon talk shows. You know, like the Maury Povich type shows, the Jerry Springer shows. I would say you'd be treated to this probably once or twice per episode. Somebody would tell somebody else to talk to their hand.
That was dumb then, and it's dumb
it's
thinking
so
about
stupid.
It.
Nobody says that
anymore. Nobody says that.
No.
That's been dead for a long time.
Right. No talking to hands. And what was the second part of there? Was a reason you wouldn't talk to the hand, because the face ain't listening. That's Gucci game. That's what that is, Wendy. Your face isn't listening.
Jesus, you are amaze me sometimes.
I speak
what
at schools. I teach the kids how to speak this
oh
way.
Oh, my God.
That's what I do.
I just did a spit take with my own snot, I think.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That microphone. Was Gucci game.
Oh, my God.
That's what that was.
How do you remember the second half of it? You had a Sister Sledge show
yeah,
that
just
weekend?
Yeah, last weekend I went to see Sister Sledge,
oh
and it was
God.
Total Gucci game. This is one I still hear every once in a while. How do people not know this is so over when people tell you that they're representing?
That these
you
have been
that?
Dead a long time.
This has been dead for years, right? But I do, every once in a while, I'll see a show and somebody will say that they are, anyone here from Boston? Yeah, Boston representing. And I go, no, he's just from Boston. He's not representing the city of Boston. He happens to be from Boston. No one's representing.
Sometimes when I go to a neighborhood party and Jim doesn't want to come with me, I say, I'm representing.
Oh, you do?
But I am.
Yeah, well, I guess you are. I guess you are.
Talk to the hand.
Yeah, I'm talking to the
Why?
Hand. Why? Because the face ain't listening, Wendy. That's the reason you would have a chat with someone's hand, because that particular person's face is not listening. See, it's easy.
It's
once you know
funny.
The rule. Once you know the rules, it's easy. Here's another one. If you're still saying this, it's not cool, so stop referring to somebody else's dog, D-A-W-G. Unless you're referring to a dog. If you're talking
right.
to a dog, have at it.
Yo, dog.
Right. But D-A-W-G.
Yeah.
You got to take your time with it.
You're dog. The big dog.
I am the big dog. And my face ain't listening. My snout ain't listening. It says here that dog replaced either man or dude or bro. And I've told you this before. I can't stand when somebody refers to somebody else as bro. Unless it's your brother.
I don't
and you're
even
in a
like
total
it,
hurry. If you only have a third of a second to introduce your brother, then you're fine.
What about bra?
I can't stand that. Or broham. Oh, my God, is that ridiculous. Or when somebody says, do you ever see somebody goes, that guy and me were brothers from another mother?
I cannot
stand
that.
Shut up.
Sisters from another mister.
That's as stupid, isn't it?
I will talk to the hand
yeah.
on that one.
Yeah, my hand will talk to you if you tell me that.
Jasmine, do you feel like you're listening to your grandparents talk about things?
It's like Grandma and Grandpa Walton having a discussion, isn't it, Jasmine? Yeah. Sure it is.
Talk to the walker.
Talk to right. All right, we've got more of these. We're trying to help. We want to keep the language alive. If you have any of your own, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You know why? Because it's off the charts.
No, see, that one makes sense.
Off
the
charts?
Chain,
off
doesn't.
The chain. It's off the rack. It's
Nordstrom rack?
Yeah, it's off Nordstrom rack. There have been some changes to the English language, ladies and gentlemen. You probably got a memo about this. Words that were cool a very short time ago are no longer cool. I'd say we agree with most of these, right?
Totally.
Right? Yeah.
Totes my goats.
So, yeah. Whoever that is. Somebody texted us and said that bro and bruh never died.
Yes, yes. If you're saying it, people are laughing behind your back.
They still exist, but I know for a fact that whenever anybody uses any of those terms around me, bro, bra, brohammer, any of those, that's the European version. Remember I told you before how kids in our school got to see a film about Europe?
Yes.
They were told, do not say bro, say broham or brohammer.
I never heard brohammer.
I don't know why.
It's brohammer time.
Bro. So... anytime anyone uses one of those around me, I just go, well, our conversation's ended.
You say it out loud?
No, I just say it to myself. I don't want to talk to this guy anymore.
I still use dude.
Do you?
Not a lot. But every once in a while, I even call you that. Dude, listen.
Well,
I don't
every once in a while, there's times where it's acceptable. Mary Ellen has texted us, and this is a news flash, especially for you and me. Groovy, hepcat, tubular, also out. How about the ginchiest? Can you refer to something as being the ginchiest?
I never used that in my life.
That's from the 50s, I think, right?
Right. That's why I wasn't born yet. Groovy I've used, and that kind of made a comeback a little bit.
Here's somebody who says, I still use Just Ducky. That's still in, right? Yeah. People still say Just Ducky, sure. Here's one on the list that they say you shouldn't be using anymore, and I agree. Never liked this one. Cool Beans.
Yeah.
You know what that has morphed into? Awesome Sauce. The maker, the people who used to manufacture Cool Beans, they're now making Awesome Sauce.
It's kind of like hummus.
It's similar to hummus. Yes, it is. From a pharmaceutical standpoint, Wendy, chill pill.
A chill pill.
Yeah. When was the last time somebody said that around you or to you?
I don't know.
Yeah. Chill pill.
Take a chill pill.
That sounds like it's from the 60s, but I think it happened much later.
It was 80-ish.
It was, right?
Yeah.
But doesn't it sound like something, a very psychedelic era? That guy needs to take a chill pill. Home slice or home skillet?
Jasmine, I've never
heard
that.
To you, Jazz. What does this mean? This just means a local friend.
Like, they say now homie.
Yeah.
Like that's
all right, I like that.
Yeah.
What about home fries? Can you call someone home fries?
Yeah, say that from now on.
I don't know about home fries. Sorry.
Now, here's one, and there's a big differentiation here. It says you can still refer to somebody as a player.
Playa.
You cannot, no. They say if you're saying that, you're out of date. You're out of step.
So you're a player.
I am a player.
You're a game player.
I'm a game player. Right.
A toy player.
Yeah. But I'm not a playa.
But
I'm a player.
I see it.
There's the difference.
Homie.
You can also not tell somebody something about your his house.
Okay, that hasn't been happening in a while.
I'm trying to remember the last time I heard anybody say that with a straight face. Wendy Snyder into his house. That just sounds wrong.
That is stupid.
That just sounds idiotic, doesn't it? This one's been dead for 30 years. Dig it?
Can you dig it?
Has anyone said that, honestly, in the last 30 years?
Yes,
really?
Because people will be telling a story and they'll go, dig this. Yeah, I've heard it. I might have used it.
Have you really?
Maybe. Yeah. Might be guilty.
What about this? Talking smack. I don't want to hear you talking smack about Jasmine. It's interesting to me that they have dig it and talking smack because it makes me think of Dig 'em Smacks.
I know.
That's a delicious cereal.
Obviously, the person writing the article was thinking of them, too. Gary has a term that people don't like, or shouldn't use. Gary, what's the term?
Cat's meow.
I hate that.
That means it's something special or great, right? It is the cat's meow.
Yeah.
All right, but cats meow every minute, so it's not really that special for them, so I don't even understand it.
Right.
Oh, you know, it still makes sense to me.
What about the cat's pajamas?
Never heard of that one.
You never heard that? So that one was really big for a while, the cat's pajamas.
How did you use it? It's all that in a bag
of
cat's pajamas?
It's time to go to bed. Put on your cat's pajamas.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this cat's meow is still pretty popular. Do you guys ever use it?
Mm.
Where is it popular, Gary?
Well, I'm in Chicago. I'm driving.
He's in Chicago, and it's 1953, and people are saying it all the time. Wendy, what's wrong with that?
Say, you're the cat's meow.
Yeah, I tell you, yeah.
All right, well, Gary.
It's groovy.
I like that.
That's closer to home. Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, take care.
Oops, sorry. Nancy hates the term, too. Hi, Nance.
Oh, I hate the term anywho.
Anywho.
I don't like that.
Awful.
Anywho. And they just go on. I want to say, look, you got a revolver. Shoot him.
It seems extreme, but okay.
And you know what? People are using the word cool.
I like cool.
That one has held up somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I sometimes use cool beans, too. I mean,
you do.
I was in a play at the Raven Theater in the 80s, and one of the girls said cool, and I thought, man, you're really retro. And now it's back.
Yeah, somehow it is. I think it's okay for a woman to say it. Like, picture a construction worker and somebody goes, we're putting up another floor. Yeah, cool beans. It doesn't make sense for a tough guy to say.
No, they would say cool beams.
Cool beams is
fine. If they were a construction worker.
Right. That's acceptable.
Thank you,
Thanks, Nance.
Nancy. Have a good one.
Take care.
And Stuart is on the line with us. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, how are you all?
Excellent.
Good. Nice pipes.
So I have a few for you, but I also have a comment about the words they're using. So I think they're throwbacks to to younger times, that all these slang were perpetuated by the youth. And so you all spoke about off the hook.
Yeah.
And I think that's a reference to something being off the meat rack. It's raw. It's in its purest form. It's the best.
Is that
it's
where that comes from? That's where that comes from?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. They're all still very relevant. And even I have another one, a new one for you.
Sure.
I don't know if you all spoke about the crib.
That means
that's
your
house.
I'm at the crib, right. But yeah. It's also a reference or a throwback to, you know, a time when you're a baby, you're in your most comfortable place.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's, you're wrapping this crib of comfort.
Can I? Is it cool for me to say in your bassinet? Is that nice?
Bassinet.
Bassinet's a musical instrument.
Bassinet. It's not as short and sweet, but you can use it if you want.
What about the futon?
Yeah, he's in his futon. That sounds
okay. Yeah,
good.
Back in college, you're in your futon. All right, yeah. Use that one.
Papoose.
So also, I wouldn't stack those terms.
Oh,
you got to mix and match, right?
That might make you corny, yeah.
All right.
If you start stacking them and you overdo it.
That Bill's already sense. Corny.
I'm already over, yeah, I am. Thank you for your help on this, Stuart. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. No
Take
problem.
Care.
You
Bye.
All have a great day.
You
Bye.
Too.
You are so corny, you're all that in a bag of Fritos.
That's going to take off. You should copyright that, Wendy, because you're going to make a ton of money with
Thank
that.
Thank you so much. How about the bee's knees someone has texted?
Oh, that's from way back.
Bees don't have knees.
Bees are kneeless, and yet people say that. Why?
I don't know
why people would say that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And there is no break. People refuse to sponsor this nonsense, Wendy.
They
I don't blame them.
Because we are lit.
Yeah, that's what we are.
I learned that from Pete Davidson, by the
way. Where does that come from? I don't know what the derivation of that is. On fire?
Jasmine?
Does that mean on fire, Jazz?
Yeah. Like, it's awesome. Right.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
English lit. You are English lit, Wendy.
No,
I'm not saying it wrong?
Yeah.
Because that's a class I took, and I assume that that's what they meant by that.
The face is still not listening.
Nah, the face is not listening.
All is right. that the term?
Talk to the hand, because the face ain't listening.
It would be your ears aren't
right.
listening.
Yeah, but they say face for some reason, but it should be ears. You're right.
Gucci game.
Yep.
All right, we're going to talk to Dean. He's in another country.
He's in Europe.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is. So we're going to talk to him after the news.
Knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. We will not talk about hard boys. Dean,
and he's out of the States.
What a good guy Dean Richards is. Even though he's in Europe, he still finds time to talk to you and me, Wendy. I don't know how he does it. Hi, Dean.
I was hoping that you might have had the intro music redone with bagpipes, because I'm in Scotland right now.
Are you wearing a
and
kilt?
Who doesn't enjoy bagpipe music, right?
Yes, the best. Isn't it the best?
Most soothing, wonderful, easy to listen to music that there is.
Yep.
I like it at the funerals. Come on.
Yeah.
It has a point.
Dean is in Scotland. Dean, can you get Wendy and me some scotch tape while you're there?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Yes, I can.
You make it fresh there.
I'd be happy to.
Every morning.
It smells better, the scotch tape here, because it's fresh.
Yep. Why are you in Scotland? How come?
I'm doing some interviews. The only reason that I ever travel anyplace. Chris Pine has a new movie called Outlaw King.
Oh, Scottish Pine.
what?
Scottish Pine.
Scotch pine.
Scottish pine. Oh, yeah. I got it. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I'm jet lagged. I might be a little slow today.
I'm doing tree humor.
You are. You are all about the tree time right now.
Yes.
And by the way, I need to talk to you about coming to my house to
pick up your used tree.
All right.
Yeah.
I can do that.
I love that you're going to people's houses with that. You are Mr. Christmas tree. But anyway, Scottish Pine, Chris Pine, as I like to call him, has a new movie that's called Outlaw King. That's about an ancient Scottish king. In fact, I'm leaving to see the movie in about an hour, and then tomorrow we're going to an ancient Scottish castle,
oh,
an actual
cool.
castle.
Yeah.
And that's where we will do the interviews tomorrow.
That'll be
so
fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be great.
And then, so then when we finish the interviews here, then we'll go to London Saturday, I think. We go to London on Saturday. I'll see the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody.
I am dying to see that.
I am, too. I'm hearing nothing but great things about it, but I'm looking forward to seeing that. But then we'll interview Rami Malek, who plays Freddie Mercury, and the whole cast of Bohemian Rhapsody, and they've got some big event that's going on at Wembley Stadium there. So it's it's going to be, I think it's going to be a kind of a fun trip.
It sounds like it is. Now, Rami Malek was not the first actor that was set to play Freddie Mercury. It was originally going to be the guy from Borat, right?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
The Queen people
did. Go ahead.
No, the Queen people did not like the portrayal, and that's what I heard.
Yeah.
But we'll go to the source. Dean, what did you hear on that?
I heard exactly the same thing, that there were the creative differences, is the way that they put that when something like that doesn't work out. But who knows with Sacha Baron Cohen? You never. He's unpredictable on screen and off screen. So,
yeah.
Maybe there were. Maybe there was more to it than that. But from what I've seen from the trailer so far, from what I've been hearing, Rami Malek does an amazing job. People are already saying that he could be nominated for an Oscar for this performance. So.
Wow.
I'll know better on. I'll see it Saturday. Do the interviews. Come back. I'll actually have some of my interviews with Rami Malek on the WGN TV Morning News on Monday, live from London.
What was he? Was he in anything before? Would I know him from anything else?
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. I think he won a couple of Emmy awards, didn't he, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I can't believe the essence of Freddie Mercury that he captures to a T. And this is just in the trailer that
right.
I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see it's easy to show a trailer and, a 5-second soundbite of him singing Bohemian Rhapsody. We'll see if the story holds up, what else there is to it all.
Dean,
Queen is having kind of a little revival as a result.
Why, they are. Yeah.
Great band.
Panic in the Disco did a version of Bohemian Rhapsody the other night at the awards.
They were
American Music Awards. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was such a great version. And I heard, I don't know if this is confirmed yet, that the actual Queen of England also is in the movie as just, that does a little walk-on. Did someone say Queen?
Yeah, oh, that would be great. I hope that comes true.
Find me somebody to love.
Did someone say Queen? And then Freddie Mercury goes, hey, guys, that would be a great name for this band.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. Dean, were you still in the United States when the fallout began from Roseanne not being on the show The Conners, but then tweeting about it? Were you still here for that or gone already?
Yes. Yeah, no, I was there. Did you see the death episode?
Yes.
I just saw it. I was a day late, and I hate to admit that I kind of liked it. It was way better than I anticipated.
I did, too.
Right.
I liked it, too. I thought it was well done, very well written. It was emotional and touching and just funny enough. Also, they had quite a few good laughs in it,
yep.
Appropriate good laughs in it, which is not easy when your subject matter is the main person in this family just died. So I think they found a nice way of dealing with it. I love that they made it topical and, dealing with a problem that a lot of people are facing now, opioid addiction and drug addiction. I've had people texting and emailing us that she should have had a heart attack. Why did they have to do that? Well, first of all, what difference does it make? But I think it's great that they chose a subject. First of all, it was a subject that Roseanne herself was dealing with in the last episodes from last season, where she was about to go in for knee surgery. They couldn't afford medication, topical prescription drugs, too expensive, topical. The abuse, addiction, and possible and overdose of drugs topical. I think they
really
took a whole
foreshadowed
lot of
that.
Yeah.
And it was so good because, you know, her surviving family members, you know, are still perplexed. Like, I can't believe mom had an addiction. And I think that's very real these days where you're just in disbelief that how could this normal person have an addiction?
Yeah, I think that's one of the, you know, the things that made the writing of this episode so great. John Goodman did such a good job in his performance in this as the husband who is, you know, suddenly a widower, and all, you know, the complexities of what he has to deal with, not wanting to sleep in the same bed, especially the bed in which she died. I mean, they put a lot into this episode. I think it was really smart. I've had, you know, a few people who, commented on social media. It's like, well, they, you know, now they're not talking about Trump, and you know, they've lost. Well, this episode wasn't about Trump.
Right.
This episode was about a character dining. They may or may not, and I suspect that they will go back to that storyline and make it a reflection of lots of different opinions, which the show was in its reboot season last year. It was not just a Trump show, but it included lots of different opinions, and I suspect that they'll go back to that. But this episode was about somebody dying, and you know, to suddenly bring up Trump in the middle of all of this wouldn't have made any sense.
Yeah, so true. All right, let's take a quick break, and then Dean will tell us about the movies coming out this weekend. Stick around. It's
Halloween.
Yep.
I gotta see that too. Halloween. Dean Richards. Hello, Dean, I should say. Live in Europe right now in Scotland. And
Edinburgh, Scotland.
Mm. All right. We're going to talk about the new Halloween because I really would like to see it.
You're going to love it. I'm just going to say that. This is going to be the number one movie of the weekend. No question about it. It is so, so, so well done. I'm such a big fan of the original Halloween movie from 1978. I've liked a couple of the other sequels that have come out through the years. I don't remember which numbers are which because it really kind of spiraled into some terrible movies, a couple of really good ones.
Dean, I can help you. 3, 6, 9, 14, 18, 23, 26. All good. The rest, not that good.
Yeah, this is why you want Bill coming to your house, so he can talk to you about stuff like this when he comes to your house to switch out the tree and start putting numbers off for no particular reason. But I still love the original movie the best, but if you were to imagine that none of the other sequels have happened until this one now that is opening tomorrow, 40 years later, this is the perfect sequel to the first movie, set in real time. They acknowledge that now it's 40 years later. Michael Myers' character is still in prison. He's still diabolical. He still hasn't spoken a word to anybody in all of these years. Of course, it's Halloween. That's the perfect day to transfer him to a new facility, a new prison facility. And things happen in the movie where Michael Myers escapes and starts wreaking havoc again. But there's one person that he really wants to wreak the most havoc on, and that is Jamie Lee Curtis's character, who is so great in this movie. I mean, the movie making in Halloween is so good, and it's thoughtful and methodical. It has just the right amount of white knuckle moments and just the right amount of shock moments. But what really makes this movie is Jamie Lee Curtis. She clearly loves this character. She has perfectly taken this character 40 years later now, where she's not really, you know, the innocent person wondering what's going on. She is an ultra prepared, with a panic room and full arsenal of weapons waiting for, because she knows that one day Michael Myers is going to return and is looking for her. So, you know, the movie, there's a lot to it, but what it's the evolution of Jamie Lee Curtis's character here, I think, that really makes this
Dean's List
add so much depth of the storyline. Dean's List A.
Wow.
I really liked
Who
it.
Who saw that coming?
Really, really, really liked it. Yep.
All right, let's move on to Beautiful Boy.
It's Steve Carell and Timothy Chalamet. They play, this is a true story of a father trying to save his son who becomes opioid addicted. He is the perfect son. He's the model son. And as he gets older, gets involved in a web of drug addiction. And it's the story of a father desperately, frantically trying to save his son. It's a story of, much like the Roseanne storyline, where we learn the perils of drug addiction and opioid addiction in particular, but this is also a story about the unconditional love that a parent has for their child and the love in which a parent will never give up trying to save their child no matter what, no matter how dismal it seems, no matter how dark it seems. Steve Carell's performance is amazing. Timothy Chalamet is amazing. Maura Tierney's in the movie. Amy Ryan is in the movie, which I find kind of funny because she's reunited with Steve Carell. They were both on The Office
right.
together.
Interesting.
This is a really straightaway drama. It's very emotional. It's also a Dean's List A, but you're going to bring some Kleenex when you go see this one. It's a gut wrencher.
Dean, we have less than a minute, but there's another big movie opening this weekend, The Oath. Can you go quick on The Oath?
Yes.
What would you think?
Yeah, it's Ike Barinholtz, the comedian, who has written this play, written this movie, directs it, and also stars in it. It's the story of a progressive news junkie who invites his mostly conservative family over to his house for Thanksgiving dinner. It happens to be coinciding with a new law which is taking effect in America, in which citizens have to sign off on a loyalty oath to America. So you can imagine what kinds of conversations are going to take place at this Thanksgiving table. It's very well written. It's very funny, very edgy. If you are on the left, I think you're going to find it funny. If you're on the right, I think you're going to find this funny. Tiffany Haddish co-stars in the movie. It's a Dean's List B.
Excellent. Well, good week for movies, Dean.
Safe travels.
It's that time of year. What size kilts do you both wear? I'll pick some up while I'm here.
I'm an extra medium, Wendy.
An extra medium?
Yes. EM. Give me an EM kilt.
I don't want a kilt.
Okay, it's up to you. We're all going to be wearing them. You're going to be the one that doesn't have one. It's up to
get
you.
Wendy one, Dean. Get Wendy one that says "Video Kilt the Radio Stars."
Nice.
It's Dean Richards, everybody. He's
in
Europe.
I'm working with the king of dad jokes.
Yeah,
today.
How about that? Thanks, Dean.
Okay, see you guys.
Thank you, Dean.
All right, we'll take a quick
break.
Actually,
it was better than a dad joke. I'm sorry I said that.
Thank you. That's all right.
You know, coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all here, 720 WGN.